Where will you build, friend? Where will you build? On the sinking sand, on the rock, or on a hill? Through the rain and storm, will your building stand? It's sure to fall if you're building on the sand.
Jesus spoke in parables that we might understand, of the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain and storm came down and beat upon that house. Jesus said it fell, and great was its fall.
Where will you build, friend? Where will you build? On the sinking sand, on the rock, or on a hill? Through the rain and storm, will your building stand? It's sure to fall if you're building on the sand. Jesus, teaching his disciples, spoke of the man, the wise man who built his house upon the solid rock. When the rain and storm came down and beat upon that house, Jesus tells us in his word that
house fell not.
Where will you build, friend? Where will you build? On the sinking sand, on the rock, or on a hill? Through the rain and storm, will your building stand? It's sure to fall if you're building on the sand. It's sure to fall if you're building on the sand.
So much to talk about in this new year already. So little has happened. It's only one day in. We better start changing that. Make things happen this year. But in God's timing. Anyway, going to that song we just sang. It has a very, very profound message, that song, and that's the foundation. The foundation is everything. What we build upon determines what foundation you have. That's parallel to even how we build in this life, or what foundation we build on on earth here. So it's very parallel to what Jesus is talking about here, that if we do not have that foundation, our building is going to fall. And it's not how you build. What you could use to build upon that foundation will be determined one day by fire. And that's in 1 Corinthians 3, where he talks about no other foundation can man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. However, we have a choice on how we build upon that foundation. That is our choice. And one of these days, a fire is going to check our works on what materials we use. In other words, if you use your own works to build upon that fire outside of the will of God, does not change your foundation. Remember, your foundation is Jesus Christ. If you build upon that foundation, your foundation is sure. But if you build with materials that are no good upon that foundation, your materials that are no good will burn, but you yourself will be saved. Read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So my message today in part is going to be twofold. The first part is going to be who we are, and that we need to be free. We need to be set free and know that we are set free, and then we can tell others about it. You cannot really advertise a product unless you know that product works for yourself. So how do you want to be a good salesman if you're trying if you've never tried the stuff, you don't know anything about it, somebody just told you about it, so you're just secondhand information, you tell the guy, okay, yeah, it works, I've seen it work. But the best way to sell something is personal experience. If you know for sure the product works for you and has worked for you, then you become a complete salesman and you can now sell something that people will be convinced of because you can sell it with conviction. But before we go into this message, I want to ask the Lord for his blessings, especially upon this new year. So Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this new year, for what you have brought us through another year. Lord, it looked, it was shaky, oh God. But Lord Jesus, we have this foundation and we know we're sure. Because your foundation, you are a sure foundation. And I pray, Father, that you'll bless everyone here. You'll bless them with another year of health, that no premature death will come upon anyone. Lord, that the prayer that you prayed, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That happened to us, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know in heaven it is good. Help us to plug into your perfect will, not your secondary will, but your perfect. So, Lord Jesus, you'll bless everyone here. Bless this message. Open people's hearts. On YouTube, you'll bless them, the listeners, Lord God, that they will understand that you have come to set them free, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. I want to start by my first part is we need to be completely free and know it. We need to be completely free and know it if we are to engage in spiritual warfare. But first, I want to start today's message by exposing or show the foundation that you're personally standing on. We all here, I want to put something into this message here, which I don't have planned, is this. If anybody here thinks you can walk away from Jesus, you have not been touched by Jesus. That's the only thing that I have for somebody who has in his mind that you can, what if I walk away? You have not been touched by Jesus then. I was touched by Jesus. I'm not going to walk away from him. And even if I do, he will keep me from falling. That's the message I stand on. So with God, his promises are yes, yes. So he will keep you regardless of what happens. And if you have been touched by him, you will not walk away from him. I guarantee you that. So I want to, again, start today's message by exposing or showing the foundation. If it's covered, let's look at the foundation we have, the foundation that you're personally standing on. It's a sure thing, and nothing, and I mean nothing, can ever move it. The question is, do you have that foundation? In 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2, in the King James Version, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. What is that? What is that? What does that word mean? It means one who pleads another's cause. So Jesus is standing, if you do sin, and this is now talking in the flesh, remember, this is you have to separate spirit from flesh. The spirit cannot sin anymore, and I'll get into that later. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate or somebody who stands in for us. In the Greek, it means comforter. We have a comforter in the Father. With the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation, which is an atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So everybody is covered in this. There is, however, an exception. You have to ask for that help. You have to ask for that covering. When God told Adam and Eve, the day you will eat of this fruit, you will surely die. And the question remains is this, did they die? Physically, they didn't die. So again, we have to differentiate between spirit and flesh. And again, we as believers, a lot of believers fail to separate what died here. It's that they died spiritually. That's what Jesus came to make right. He didn't come to make your physical body right. Even though there's healing, there's a different process for that. But he came to give us back our original state, which Adam and Eve lost in the garden, which was our spiritual life came back. Because they died spiritually, and from henceforth on, they passed it down to every human being till Jesus Christ came and made it right. And Jesus came under guise. It was disguised. If Satan had known it, in Corinthians it says, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified our Lord. So he came in total mystery. It was a mystery to the underworld. So he gave back our spiritual life. And in 1 John 3, verse 9, King James Version, it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. What's he talking about here? I'll paraphrase this. Whoever is born again, it means your spirit is born again. Separate the flesh from the physical. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. So now your sin is made perfect. It's washed, it's cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and it's washed. For the seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. If you want to look at this scripture from a physical standpoint of view, we would all know it does not make sense. It can't make sense because we all sin, born again or not. We all sin. That's why Jesus came to die for our future sins. When he died 2,000 years ago, every sin was future. There was no past sins, even though he covered the past sins also. So whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So that then settles your spirit man. Your spirit man cannot sin anymore. It has been set free. It has been made one. It is the foundation is Jesus Christ. But then now it switches to the physical. In 1 John 3, verse 20, for if our heart condemn us, let's say you do sin and you do have something, says God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. So don't worry, and I have some more comfort here. In 1 John 5, I think I missed my scripture here. No, yeah, I'll jump back to the first one where it says, and the Father, Jesus, he's a propitiation for our sins if we do sin. So he covers our sins that we commit in the physical. Do we have to ask for forgiveness every time when we sin? Well, I think it's a natural occurrence. You will. Do you have to? Again, I'll have to go answer it with, I think it's automatic. You do. When you do wrong with Christ in you, your tendency is to want to please him and to ask for forgiveness when you do wrong. So it's an ongoing process that you do. Maybe it's automatic. I don't quite understand that. One day maybe the Lord will open my understanding to it, and then I could have a message on it. But in the meantime, I was at a Hutterite colony on Friday, and I told them there, we were talking about assurance of salvation. I tell them, this is what I tell people. If you're not sure, you accept Jesus every day till you know. Do it as long as you have to, but one day you will know. You'll just say to yourself, you do not have to lay that foundation again of repentance. You now know. But do it until you know. Make sure, even though I know for myself, I don't have to, because I know Jesus is a sure shot. My foundation is sure, and I trust that most of you here, if not all, know that Jesus is your foundation, and you have a sure. You know that you are going to heaven. And now I'm going to switch a little bit. Oh, no, I still have to continue a little bit with this part here. Excuse me. In 1 John 5, in John 1, John 1 5, verse 5 to 10, it says this. This then is the message, excuse me, which we have heard him, of him, and declare now unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, here it's a thing of transparency with God. I will tell you this. If you have a secret place in your room that God is not involved with, that you're trying to hide from God, it's not secret to him, it's only a secret to you or to other people that you're trying to keep from God and from other people, stop it, share it with him, because he knows it anyway. Freedom in the spiritual realm includes you giving everything that you have, everything that you are, your shortcomings, your sins, what you struggle with. I don't care what it is. Share it with Jesus. Tell him straight out you're struggling with it, whatever you're struggling with, and he will help you. He will give you grace to face it, or he will give you grace to overcome it and have victory in it. But hiding it does not help anybody. Especially, it does not help you. Transparency between you and Jesus, he already knows anyway. So if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we will have fellowship not only with him, but with one another, also with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us then from all sin, not some. So that's the profound message that is in this. This verse does not only refer to conscious sin that you are aware of, but to the tremendously profound understanding of sin, which only the Holy Spirit in me can accomplish. So it makes you, the Holy Spirit, aware of the things that are even hidden in your heart, and those the Holy Spirit understands, the deeper things. So again, I'm edging towards you becoming a soldier of the cross of Christ, we becoming warriors of what God has us here, so we can build upon that foundation with materials that in heaven we will have rewards, not just robes of righteousness. Because there are rewards in heaven, and it's up to us to see how big our paychecks are going to be, for lack of a better term. But there you will be rewarded. But if so there's a spiritual, I don't want to jump ahead here. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See, this is the first physical realm now, if we say we have no sin. Because we all fail. So again, it's transparency with Jesus. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, then we make him a liar. See, this only here is admitting to Jesus that we have faults. We do not go around bragging we're better than one another. I'm better than you. I don't do this. We can all have perfection towards certain things. I can be good at certain things but fail at something else. And so likewise, you could be good at certain things and fail at other things. But Jesus knows everything that we have issues with and have problems with, and he can help us face all if we only allow him to be that the advocate that we need to be and to be the helper. So the question now is now the spiritual warfare. I have written down here, there is a spiritual war going on around us, whether we see it or not. It is happening. There is a spiritual war going on for souls. And it's fought in the flesh. Like, God uses his means of fighting this battle is through us. But if we're ignorant, we will not be any good to that war. So before I get into what we need to be doing, I have this here, there's a spiritual war going on around us, but before we engage in this battle, we must make sure the battle is won within our hearts first. That's where it starts. Jerusalem has to be conquered. This, your Jerusalem, you have to make sure it is settled, that place of rest is sure in your heart. Satan cannot get you with anything. He cannot be accuse you of anything because he is the accuser of the brethren. And remember, Jesus is fighting for your sake. Know that within your heart. Whatever he accuses you of, you tell him it's been taken care of by the blood of Jesus, and this is what you trust in. Just because you have learned how to control and contain your physical life and to live a certain way does not add to your salvation. It's just your reasonable service. The same way goes the other way. If you are a failure, it does not take away your salvation because it's a gift given to you by God. So either way, they're a gift. God, salvation was a gift that's been given to you. So we have a choice. As long as you, when you walk a victorious life, do not attribute it to your salvation, because salvation is still a gift. It needs no merit. It needs no help. It has been given you. But as reasonable service unto the Lord and for yourself, walk a life that is clean and holy, perfecting it, because it's an ongoing process, the walk with Christ. We constantly, as Paul says, I die every day, and I learn how to walk. So it's a walk that we need to learn in and to perfect it. So here, I've got something else. Are we battling believers on doctrinal differences? First of all, I'm not here to bring a message of my point of view to convince you that my point of view is correct. If you do not already know in your heart of what I'm preaching through the Word of God is inspired by the Word of God, then we have a problem. I do not want you to see it my way. I want you to see it God's way. Because my way, I could have error. I could have a point of view that might not be correct. So if you have within you that gauge or that spirit that can discern whether something is right or something is wrong, then we'll have a problem. So I want you to make sure you check everything out, you line up, everything lines up with Scripture, and that you within yourself know that what I am preaching is measured up by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. It has to be both. So which side are we helping out here? Are we battling believers on doctrinal differences, or are we here to engage in spiritual warfare under the banner of the cross of Christ to set people free? If we lose focus inside of that, we have lost sight. This is always the goal and the zeal of what we are into, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it says, signs and wonders shall then follow them that believe. So if you walk too much into one direction, refocus, get back to preaching the cross of Jesus Christ, because it's the cross of Christ that's where the power is. God chose the foolishness of preaching the cross. This is how we have to do it. That's what we always have to come back to. So there is a battle going on, and there is no fence sitting. You are on a side. There is no neutrality. You cannot be neutral in this battle. You are on a side, even if you're neutral. There's this guy who was Dietrich Bonhoeffer during the Hitler regime, where the Nazis were ruling, and he came against the Nazis. He was killed for it, and this is what he said. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. If you think you're silent when you stay quiet and neutral, you're actually helping the enemy by being silent. But choose your words wisely. Paul says, as much as lies within us, we should live peaceful with all men. So we have to walk wise as serpents and harmless as doves. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. This is now what we fight against. I know we've had this scripture. I've personally had this scripture up a lot, but there's so much to talk about when it comes to this, because it's an ongoing process and an ongoing thing that we face in life. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So again, it's very clear. We do not engage in the warfare of the flesh, but we engage into the spiritual warfare. If we look at people, we don't look at them as our enemies. It's what's behind people that's the enemy, the demonic realm. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. So we've got every weapon available to us to fight this battle. The question is, do you know that you have this weapon? Do you know you have that strength? And again, it falls back to you knowing that you know that you belong to God. If you do not have that, you will have a problem fighting this battle, because you will struggle with assurance of salvation. So it says, starting by casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience after our obedience is fulfilled. In Ephesians 6, 11 to 18, he tells us clearly how to fight this battle and this war. By putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Again, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. That's the spirit, that's the demonic realm, the princes of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. See, it's available for us. We need to know that this is what we need to fight this battle. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's when you're right, when the battle is at its hottest, at its fiercest. So you know you have everything that you need at your disposal. Wherewith take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about the truth. Make sure the truth is what you got. Having the breastplate of righteousness, make sure you know that you're righteous. Having your feet ready to tell people about the cross of Jesus Christ, the gospel. This is part of this. Because this is the offense of the God. The gospel is an offensive message. But they cannot take it out on Jesus, so they take it out on you. we are then the offense. Unfortunately, that's one part that we cannot do anything about when it comes to offenses. We have to tell people about Jesus Christ, and they will be offended. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. That's again where your mind is wondering whether you're saved. Make sure you have the helmet of salvation that puts that surety there that I do not need to worry. I have the helmet of salvation. My mind cannot make me doubt anymore. That's something that you put on. It's not physical. It's something God gives you. And it's an attribute of the Holy Spirit, that helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So you need to also learn how to pray in the Spirit. It's part of this armor. And that's another message in itself, the praying in the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, watching therefore unto all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so there's another part here, that we should lift one another up. If I preach a message that's divisive, I'm not lifting up. So we have to, part of church is not usually to preach the gospel, it's to give you the equipment that you need to fight the battle that we need to fight, so that you know that you can fight this battle with every tool that is available for you to use to fight. And this will be the conclusion of my message here. For our battles are first won or lost in the secret places of our will. That's what I was talking about. In your secret, you know before whether a battle is won or lost. Your battle is first won or lost in the secret place of our will in God's presence. So never in the full view of the world. The battle that is within you has to be won first. The Spirit of God seizes me, and I am compelled to get along with God and fight the battle before Him, not against Him, but before Him. Until we do this, we will lose every time. So make sure you fight that battle before God, fight it out, get sure who you are, what you are, overcome everything that is coming against you, and then become a trained soldier that can actually fight against the enemy. The battle may be 1 minute or 1 year, but that will depend on you or me, not God. However long it takes, we must wrestle with it alone before God, not with God, before God. Remember, Jacob wrestled with God, and it did not turn out very well for him. God dislocated his hip, put it out of joint, and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life because he wrestled with God. We do not wrestle with God, but we wrestle before Him, and with, so He can help us overcome what we are wrestling against. However long it takes, we must wrestle with it alone with God, and I must resolve to go through the hell of renunciation or rejection before Him. Whatever it is, renounce it, reject it, until you win. Nothing has any power over someone who has fought the battle before God and won there. If you have fought that battle before God and won it there, that is victory indeed. You will win. We should never say, I will wait until I get into difficult circumstances and then I will put God to the test. Trying to do it that way will not work. I must first get the issue settled before God and myself in the secret places of my soul where no one else can interfere. Then I go ahead, knowing that certainty that the battle is won. Knowing that with certainty that the battle is won. Lose it there, and calamity, and disaster, and defeat before the world are as sure as the laws of God. So if you lose it there, you will lose it everywhere else. The reason the battle is lost is that I fight it first in the external world. We try to overcome externally. We try to make laws. Don't do this. Don't do that. I will keep myself there. You will lose every time. The second I make my law, a law that I should not do what I'm going to quit, a New Year's resolution, I'm not going to do that anymore. You're setting yourself up for failure. You have to win that first before God in your own heart and in the secret place of your heart. And this is how battles are won once and for all. In dealing with, hang on, I'm jumping ahead here. The reason the battle is lost is that I fight it first in the external world and then get alone with God, do battle with him, do battle before him, not against him, but before him, and settle the matter once and for all. In dealing with other people, our stance should always be to drive them towards making a decision of their own will, of their will. This is how surrendering to God begins. It's the will of the mind and the heart. Not often, but every once in a while, God brings us to a major turning point, a great crossroads in our life. From that point, we either go toward a more and more slow, lazy, and useless Christian life, or we become more and more on fire. Give our best for him. Let us give everything we have for him, our best for his glory, for he is worth it. If we know we've been touched by him, it should be evident that he touched us. And this is the message that I want to leave for you for the new year. That's the new if you do want to make a New Year's resolution that you know you can keep, is that fight it out within your heart to overcome and win in the things that you are struggling with. Because only you know in your own heart what you're struggling with. For all those who are listening to on YouTube, that you yourselves may understand that you can have complete victory in Christ and overcome. And the people that stood before the throne at the end, guess how they overcome? How they overcame? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Know that for sure, that you overcome only by the blood of the Lamb. May the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. In Jesus' name.
We're a band of Christian soldiers fighting Satan every day. We're standing up for Jesus while we're kneeling down to pray. If his precious blood has cleansed you and washed away your sin, that makes you a member of the blood wash band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood wash band. I've been washed by the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin, till one day the Master came and made me a member of the blood wash band. God's children are advancing, marching till we reach the goal. For the battle's almost over, we'll soon be going home. I can hear the sound of angels as the saints go marching in, singing praises to the captain of the blood wash band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood wash band. I've been washed by the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin, till one day the Master came and made me a member of the blood wash band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood wash band. I've been washed by the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin, till one day the Master came and made me a member of the blood wash band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood wash band.